Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, director of the center, and I'm here with my colleague, Priscilla Weigel, who is coordinator of our inclusion coaching program. Welcome, Priscilla.
Hi.
Well, we want to talk today with listeners about the Part C primary referral regulation and just kind of shed some light on some questions listeners might have about referral and what IDEA is and what Part C is and their role in making referrals in their child care programs of children that they might suspect have developmental issues and families and all of that kind of stuff. So
definitely very useful information that is, you know, the research shows that early intervention is the key, and so really this mandate allows providers to understand, I think, with the information that we share on our website and today on the podcast, to provide that referral and help that family get what they need and the child get what he or she needs, but mostly to remembering that relationship with the family that is critical to maintain that.
Exactly. And even before we get started, I do want listeners to know that they can go to our website, inclusivechildcare.org, and look under our Learning Center. We have a longer info module that is has more information about the IDEA Part C primary referral source, which now names child care and early learning programs as primary referral sources. And they can also contact us or contact their state Department of Education sources also to get more information around this as well. We also have a tip sheet that sort of condenses the information and is very useful for people as well to follow. So first, we'll just do a brief overview of IDEA federal law, which is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. And this law is the special education law in the U.S. that really starts at age zero and goes up to age 21 for children who have been evaluated, screened and evaluated, and been identified as qualifying for special education services through their school district. And the part, why it's interesting and of value to what we're talking about today, is many of the children, particularly birth to age five, are kids that are being served in early childhood and child care programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so Part C is the IDEA law is divided into parts, and Part C is the part of the law that concerns or oversees and regulates children who are birth to age three. And so there were regulations that came out a bit ago from the federal government, and the regulations around Part C redefined who referral sources were for children birth to three.
Mm-hmm.
And so the part that's interesting to us is child care and early learning programs were named as primary referral sources under IDEA federal law. So, can you maybe talk about what a primary referral source means?
Well, that'd be an individual that really is responsible for helping that child get the services that they need when they are concerned, whether they have a red flag, whether they notice red flags in that child's development that is just an overall delay developmentally, or they maybe have a diagnosed physical or mental condition that would result in a delay, such as Down syndrome or something of that sort, or just even noticing those red flags in development that early care and education providers really do have a good handle on. They see children every day, they see them all day, they see them in a context of a group setting, so they can do comparisons of development with children in the same age groups. So really the goal, I think, is to promote getting kids in for early intervention services and not doing the wait and see attitude, not waiting till they get to school when by that time you've missed your window of opportunity in a lot of cases to really make a significant positive change.
Exactly. And I think that many people who work in early childhood, particularly in childcare, haven't maybe gotten a lot of information yet about this regulation in mm-hmm. Part C under IDEA that names them as primary referral sources. And one very specific part of this regulation is that child care providers are required to refer a child as soon as possible when they suspect a delay, but in no case more than 7 days after they suspect or have identified, and when this language, the word identification, isn't in a formal sense using assessment tools, but identified using their own observation and recording tools. They believe a child in their care has some kind of developmental delay. So the language is 7 days to make the referral. And so before people listening go, what? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. We thought we would kind of just break that down a little bit and help people understand their role, their partnership with families, mm-hmm. you know, what they are doing in observation and recording, understanding mm-hmm. development and red flags, and then making sure that they understand that as professionals, they really have an important job in helping families get those referrals so their children can get the absolute best services as early as possible.
Mm-hmm. And the key, and this is something that is always of primary importance, is that relationship with the family. How do you do this? How do you follow what the guidelines state that you are a mandated referral source? How do you make that happen without alienating the family or causing a rift between that family, those parents, and that, you know, then that derails whatever positive outcome could occur because you've already kind of stopped that whole process through
exactly.
just a negative experience. So when you look on our website, too, we have a lot of information on just sharing concerns with families. And one of the key pieces to begin with is that observation piece, as you referred to, Cindy. And it's not something that you just start yesterday or, you know, when you decide that, oh, there's a red flag. It's something that you should be doing all along with children in your care, really keeping tabs on their development, how they're doing, making notes of different things that you've noticed daily in different areas of their development. But if you have those pieces in place, it's easier for you to notice if there are patterns, if there is a concern when it occurs. Is it across the board? Does the child have a problem, a challenge with their learning, their communication, their social interaction? If you've come to the conclusion then after observing that child that, yes, there are concerns, there are those red flags, then it's your job to present that information to the family in a way that is going to be positive and that they're not going to feel like you're just dropping this bomb in their lap, but that you are supporting what is healthy development for their child and trying to do what your job is, that is to provide the best possible care.
Exactly. And we don't want people to just fixate on that 7-day period and think, oh, my gosh, you know, what do we do about that? What we really want, and when Congress passed these regulations, you know, they were concerned about, and in their own language, they said there is an urgent and substantial need to enhance the development of infants and toddlers with disabilities and to minimize any kind of impact that might be negative in their development and to recognize that the importance of brain development in those first 3 years. So those are very positive things. And we want to get away from worrying about the 7 days because there isn't somebody out there that's monitoring that 7-day period. But to be remembering that your role in, again, observation and recording is so critical, and you may not recognize, obviously, when you first enroll a child, if they don't come with some kind of disability that they were born with, you may not recognize something until you've been recording for quite a while, or you may know something right away. Mm-hmm. And so it's about the urgency of getting a child that you start to see, oh, okay, the speech is not typical for a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. Let's get the family in here and talk to them because a referral, I do have to make a referral. I'm mandated to make a referral. Mm-hmm. And so I need to get this done. So what's my next step for this? So that's really why we wanted to talk about this and do a podcast about what the actual regulation is, and then in our part two to really talk about how do you come alongside a family and hopefully work together in this process.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you know, as you said, the goal is to meet with that family, keeping, you know, not getting wigged out about the 7 days, but also that sense of urgency. And it's not that you're going to, you know, corral that family and say, you know, you have, this has to be done now. But the minute you start to see those concerns, that's what you're building that trust with that family, and your communication lines need to be open. So you need to be sharing these things with them in a positive way, and that's what we can talk about too in part two, as you, you know, alluded to.
Great. So we'll wrap up this one, and thank you, Priscilla, for your participation, and hope that everyone is engaged and interested in this. And again, you can go to our website and learn more, or go to your local Help Me Grow or organization which promotes early intervention in your state and get more information. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
That's all for now. See you.